If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more, Rex.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Just that versatility and the chance to play multiple positions just helps him create more value, get into the lineup quicker if his bat's ready in whatever affiliated team he winds up with in a few weeks.
There we go. It's Hot Sheets. Scotty Braun, J.J. Cooper, and Carlos Collazo coming from Baseball America. Follow all of their content. Make sure you get a Baseball America subscription. If you don't have one, this is that time of year where everything is happening. So before we actually bring in a special guest in the next few minutes, let's hit our first move right away to send a big congrats out. Clap it up for Tennessee. J.J., I didn't think they could do it. Yeah, exactly. This is a number one overall seed that actually wins. There's actually probably a lot of bettors that were pretty pissed about the result here because you're just looking going, well, history says the number one overall seed can't win.
I think if we roll tape back from like 3 weeks ago, I believe I did predict Tennessee because they did look like the number one seed that could do it. This is a team that's been the talent, the consistency, the success just all season. It hasn't been this. It really hasn't been their 2022 team that just stomped everyone, seemed to be unstoppable until they were stopped in the Super Regional. But it is a team that did dominate, that was SEC champs, that was the number one seed, that goes all the way through, even if they had those moments like, hey, they went to a do-or-die game against Evansville. But you do look at this Tennessee team when it's all said and done. And I think the most important thing you would say about it is this is Tony Vitello has built a program here that's now already shown staying power. This is the championship that kind of finalizes that. But you have now Vols fans, you know, stacking, trying to find room in the stadium where, I saw a tweet today that showed the first pitch from Tony V's first game at Tennessee. And let's just say you could have had whole sections of that stadium that you wanted to stretch out in. Nowadays, Tennessee's a baseball program.
Yeah, I mean, no, I think JJ hit it well. Another element that's really impressive is in this era of transfers, it's not a super transfer heavy team this year. And in fact, one of the most prominent transfers in this year's class, at least, transferred away from Tennessee and actually went to Wake Forest, and that's Chase Burns. So the fact that Tennessee was able to do that without a guy who was arguably the best college pitcher this year, I think is tremendously impressive. Christian Moore kind of being the heartbeat of this team, having a sensational season really throughout the year. He's been a tremendously consistent hitter for 3 years now. It's a 1,000 OPS or better in every season. And now he's culminating his career with 34 homers, homering in the College World Series finals. Third game yesterday to kind of give them a lead that they never relinquished was really cool to see. So yeah, I think it's right. They are a powerhouse program. They do an excellent job, I think, identifying hitters, position players who both will get to campus, but also who have that kind of workmanlike, grindy sort of style of play that Tony Vitello really loves and that this program has really kind of taken into their own and made their brand. And it's really cool to see them kind of finally climb that hurdle and reach the mountaintop.
And Carlos, I'll double back to you before we bring in our guest here. Draft stock, what did we learn?
Yeah, I'll just cycle back to Moore. I think that he was maybe one of the most impressive hitters in this NCAA postseason. This is a guy who JJ has been saying should be moving up boards for about a month now just because he's so impressed with what he can do offensively. He showed teams that he can do this on the biggest stage. I'm not sure if it was much of a question at this point, but it is nice to see a hitter like this doing it on the big stage he went from likely second rounder early in the year to maybe supplemental first rounder halfway through the year. Over the last month and a half, it was, oh, he's a top 20 pick. At this point, he feels like close to a lock to be top 15. I don't know if you can put anyone as a lock in that range, but a real chance to maybe even sneak inside the top 10. It's just a really polished bat. He did a great job cutting his strikeout rate. Like I said, it was 34 home runs. You could maybe say that he's the third best hitter in the SEC this year after Charlie Condon and Jack Caglione. And the fact that he also can play second base, I think, makes a pretty compelling profile this year. So he's definitely going to be right in the middle of the first round mix after what he did in this NCAA tournament.
I like it. Thank you, Carlos. Now let's go to the draft combine for a moment too and talk about a high school prospect. Sawyer Strassnyder joining us right now on BA Hot Sheet to talk about how the combine experience went. And we also brought a little special guest for you too, Todd Father, staying on for Hot Sheet to say hello. So first off, how are you? How was the combine? And then we'll let Todd Father jump in after that. But what was the experience like for you, Sawyer?
Well, I'm doing good. Thank you guys for having me on. But it was an incredible experience. Just all the nice stuff we got, all the being able to hit on the field and all that stuff was just really incredible.
Yeah, I want to jump on here and ask you, first off, I've heard a lot about you. I've heard a lot about how good you are and what you could bring to the table to any team that picks you up. What would you say your biggest attribute is as a ball player, or your biggest attribute you could bring off the field as well?
I think I am a really good leader, honestly. That's probably my biggest thing. Just having all the guys like to follow me, I think that's one of my biggest attributes.
I got one more for you. Do you want? It could be a two-part question. Who do you look up to in the big leagues, and who do you think your similarities are towards some, you know, a player that you've been watching on TV for a lot of years now?
Recently, with the postseason last year, I saw Evan Carter. I really saw myself in him a lot, so that was cool to watch him, and then I followed him a little bit, and I feel like we have very similar games.
It's amazing to me that Evan Carter, you know, it seems like it was just yesterday we're watching him on the draft, and here he is in the big leagues and already, you know, being a guy that you can look up to. But when you look at your game, the bat speed is one thing that's always stood out. Kind of take us through your progression as a hitter. You know, when did you have that moment where it was like, hey, you know, this is really starting to click for me? Was there a time, you know, at, you know, coming up, you know, 12, 13, 14, or was there, when did you kind of realize, hey, this is really a possibility for me, not just a dream?
Always growing up, I was a big hitter type kid. All the other kids were asking me how I'm hitting the ball so hard or so far, but it wasn't really till recently. I mean, going to the area code, that was a really big thing, just to see my BP rounds there. I broke a window and hit a couple balls on the roof of the hotel or the dorms over there. So that's really when I saw the pop, and I had a bunch of people there asking me, like, bro, what do you do? Like, how do you hit the ball like that?
Sawyer, I was actually going to ask you about exactly that. I remember that area code games batting practice. It was you and I don't remember your teammate. You guys were going back to back. It felt like putting balls on top of that dorm. And I was going to ask if you were the one who broke the window, because I distinctly remember a window being broken. You don't often see balls hit on top of that dorm. So, I mean, did you surprise yourself there?
A little bit. I was kind of nervous going into it just because all the scouts that are there, it's the whole stands are filled with scouts. But after my first round, I really settled in and hit the ball well.
Hey, Sawyer, I'm going to flip it back to Todd Father for a moment. What was your experience like watching Todd Father growing up? I think your fam had some Reds fans in it, right?
Yes, sir. So I had always been a huge Reds fan since I was little. I was from Cincinnati. And, I got to see Todd win the home run derby, actually, so that was pretty cool at home. That was one of the coolest experiences I've seen. So I've just always been a big fan. Love the walk up song too, "Fly Me to the Moon." That was always awesome when I'd hear that.
You got some class in here. I like that. Dude. You're like a fine wine. I enjoyed that. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm curious if you have any questions for me. I mean, you're coming up as a young superstar here. You're getting your name out there. Do you have anything for me? Or if not, just keep going and doing what you're doing, bro.
What do you think the biggest piece of advice that you would let me know with your huge career you had?
I think that's a great question. And I think it's about failure. And I think when you're coming up through the ranks after you get drafted, wherever you go, you got to understand you can accept failure, but never expect failure. So when you go to the box or you go in the field, whatever happens, happens. You get a strikeout. All right, I can accept it, but I'm not going up there to expect it, because you fail more than you succeed in this game, and you see what happens. People struggle, and then it builds and builds. So understand failure is a part of it. Don't let it bring you down, man. And I know you'll be just fine.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I like that.
Yes, for
hey,
sure.
Hey, one more on the Todd Father topic. So being that you have respect for the walk-up song, do you have one? Do you have one in mind? And, you know, do you have that mindset of kind of taking fans back a little bit, or you go with current music?
I don't really have one right now. That's been a big topic I've been thinking about. I do like to get the crowd involved a little bit, maybe get it something a little older, but I've been searching for these upcoming years. I got to find one.
Okay.
It'll just click, I promise you. It'll just click.
Todd's going to run through all the Sinatra songs for you. Well, I like it. I like it. Last one. Go ahead, JJ. You got last licks.
Yeah, I just had one I wanted to ask, which is what is this time like for you, right? Like, you're at this point where, I mean, you've got a good option, which is, hey, you're going to see what the draft does, but obviously you've also got a very good college option as well. But what are these weeks like for you, like, as kind of you're leading up to it, but it's now a little longer than it used to be. You graduate and boom, here's the draft. Now there's kind of this month here. What has this been like for you?
It's been pretty busy. I try to keep it as fun as possible, trying not to make anything too serious, knowing that I have a good choice either way, just really trying to make the right decision for myself. So trying to keep it cool.
Well, yeah, it was very well done on this interview. I know you probably did a bunch over at the Combine too. So we appreciate the time and a little bit of insight on how that all works. And good luck over these next few weeks. All right, we'll be looking for your name.
Thank you guys for having me.
Appreciate you. Thank you very much. And also thanks to Teza Energy for setting up the interview there, as you saw on the screen. So TezaEnergy.com. You can also use the promo code FOUL for 20% off your first order. And there are custom Foul Territory Teza pucks on there as well. All right, before we get rid of Todd Father, because this is special Todd appearance on Hot Sheet, you want to show him what you had back in the day, JJ?
Oh, JJ.
This is 07. So this is I actually do remember talking to Todd on the way up, because Todd was actually one of the most enjoyable prospects to talk to. But this is before this. And I just wanted to ask you, I believe we had you 64th on the BA draft top 200, which admittedly, we were too low in hindsight. I'll own that. But you were also right there with Zach Kozar.
Let me stop you. Yeah. It wasn't you. It was Keith Law put that crap out there, and I still don't like him, not only because of that. But there's other things I don't like him for, but that's definitely one of them. I like you. I wasn't a fan of him. Go ahead.
But I wanted to ask, so like, if y'all can flash up the graphic of it, I just wanted to know how our report was. Basically, obviously we got right the fact that you were, one of three in your family to play. But like, how are you, like, as a college player, how did you – so I think one of the toughest things about this is players – you talked about learning to, both be able to handle failure but never expect failure, but also players evolve, players change, players develop. How are you a different player when you hit the big leagues than you were when you were coming out of college?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I was raw, man. Honestly, at the end of the day, I was a free swinger. I went up there and I tried hitting home runs probably every at bat. I thought I had some tools. I was pretty fast when I was younger. In college, I averaged probably 20, 25 bases in college. So, You know, I saw a modest tool set. I guess I can agree with that. I thought I had most of them. I mean, they said they're worried about the power there. I thought the power was always there. I think that I showed that when I was younger. But just raw. I had a lot to learn still, and it took me a while in the minor leagues just to understand that the rawness is not always going to take me there. I have to figure out what pitches I'm looking for, what they're going to throw me in certain counts, you know, all these different type of things that I finally figured out as I worked my rank up. Like, the rawness is only going to get you to a certain point, and you got to understand the pitchers are going to find your weakness and what you can do with it. So I want to read that over again, and we can talk later.
I thought that was a pretty nice write-up, though.
Yeah, I respected you, man. I loved everything. I always got dinged by Keith Law, bro. This guy would always find a way to put some crap in there.
Because he didn't like your swing.
Yeah, nobody liked it. I had an arm bar.
Yeah. So, hey, Todd, I was 13, so don't blame me for this one.
No, I had an arm bar, so when I came back, my arm stretched out. But when it came through and bent through, I swung good. It was unorthodox, but a lot of people have unorthodox swing and still succeed. And I think I exceeded those expectations.
I remember I watched way too much video of you trying to handle inside pitches when you were coming up because I wanted to figure out if you could get around. Because that was always the thing with the arm bar. And it never seemed like it was a big problem for you. You could get your hands through. And if you can't do that, then you're going to get eaten up, I felt like.
Yeah, and I think when I went to Chatham after my freshman year, that's kind of where I was like, all right, with the wood bat and everything else, I did really well. And I thought, yeah, I do belong here, man. This is only a matter of time. And my stock kind of rose after that.
Yeah. Talking about the Cape League, of course. I mean, this crowd mostly knows what he's talking about, but with the Chatham Ace. So that was good.
Doubt.
Appreciate you, Todd Father. Thanks.
Nice seeing both of you guys. Yeah. Man. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Todd.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data. And a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. What I love about Indeed is how much easier it has made the hiring process. Everything I need is all in one place. The ways to contact potential employees, job candidates, all in one place. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That was good. All right. So while Todd, you know, skips out, Carlos, can we just get word from you on what happens next? So we got through the college baseball season. Now set us up with EA and really the next process here leading up to the draft for all these players.
Yeah. So for us at Baseball America, it's really putting kind of some of the bows and finishing touches on our draft reporting, making sure we're kind of accounting for all of these late movers. You mentioned the Cape, actually. And now because the draft date is so late, you actually get some players who are eligible for this year who are starting to play in the Cape and other summer college leagues. So there are some players who will change their stock to varying degrees there that you need to account for. Teams are doing a lot of postseason meetings now at this point to really try and line up their boards and get a feel for exactly what's going on. I know teams over the last few weeks have started to try and figure out what other teams around them, who they're targeting, trying to see if they can narrow down their board at any capacity at this stage. It's still pretty wide nets for teams as high as 1 and 2 at this stage. So I'm not sure there's a lot of confidence from the industry on whether or not they can narrow down their boards, but it's a lot of kind of those meetings, scouts watching the Cape Cod League. You've got some scouts that even have to pivot towards 25 because USA's college national team is getting started. So it's a very busy time of year for teams and for us at BA. There'll be a couple more mock drafts that we'll have prior to the draft. But yeah, everyone's kind of just ready to get this thing on the road. We know the players. We're excited to see who's going where. And draft day is, what, 3 weeks away now?
Yeah, it is. It's important also to mention how much we're going to be doing. We'll talk more about that over the next few weeks. But JJ, I mean, you can give us a little bit of detail on how much action-packed coverage there's going to be from BA. And, you know, I'll be involved, the FT team. We might have a special guest or two that's on the panel from, you know, the player side, which will be cool for everyone too.
Because, yeah, now that they roll this all together. So basically, All-Star Weekend is now also Draft Weekend and also Futures Game Weekend. So we're going to start with the Futures Game. The lead up for that, we'll have the Baseball America Louisville Slugger Prospect Pad, as we always do, where we'll talk to all the players who are going to be in the Futures Game. But then also, we're going to get you prepped because we're going to turn around. We've got the Futures Game on Saturday. We got the Draft Day one on Sunday. And so we're going to also be talking draft during the Prospect Pad, because we got to get you ready. And then we're going to be working with you guys, I believe, you know, from there too, because we're all going to be there in Texas, in Dallas for the for All-Star / Draft / Futures Game weekend and week. And man, it's just, I mean, it's going to be, it's the time of year where the bags on the eye, under the eyes grow, but in a good way, because this is why we do what we do. This is the fun time of the year because so much is going on.
Yeah, and then you're putting pressure on me to try and find us a little skincare sponsor or something like that for the under eyes.
I could use it.
Yeah, that or, you know, or energy drinks or coffee, something like that. So I'll get to work for you. All right, let's bring in a fan question here as we do, you know, just about every show here on Hot Sheet. We do have time for one or two. So Pint Size asks, have you guys heard about the arsenal of Mariners left-handed pitching prospect Brandon Garcia? JJ, you want to jump on this one?
I'll jump on it, and first I'll send my consolation, my condolences to Brandon, because Brandon was a Texas A&M Aggie. You know, he was part of that team just, you know, until not this year, but until just recently. So I'm sure he's kind of, you know, he's kind of bummed because they came that close to winning the title yesterday. But Garcia's gone off to a great start, high A in the Northwest League. Really kind of not a two-pitch pitcher, but I would say – predominantly a two-pitch pitcher. It's a good fastball. It's a good slider. That gives him kind of the building blocks. I will be interested to see, is it going to end up being a good reliever, or is he going to stay as a starter, which is what he's doing now? You know, he's got that kind of that fastball-slider combo where it kind of could go either way. Maybe he develops the changeup a little bit more. Maybe he, you know, develops another kind of third pitch where that would help him kind of as long-term as a starter. But if not, the fastball slider combo is one that could help him move relatively quickly as a reliever if he end up moving to that role down the road.
All right, one more fan question. This one coming in from Army Chow Main. Is Ryan Waldschmidt worth taking inside the first 5 rounds of the upcoming draft?
Oh, I would say absolutely slam dunk yes. He is worth taking inside the first round for many teams. There are some teams who maybe don't like the swing or the athlete enough to take him in the first round. But at this point, I would expect him to be off the board in the 20 to 30 range, just given the amount of heat he has in that range. He's a guy who really has fantastic batted ball data. The analytics teams are really excited about what he's able to do. He makes a lot of contact. He hits the ball hard. He's got power. He's got speed. It's a left field profile. That maybe is the one kind of biggest question mark. But there are a lot of corner profiles in this college class, and I think he has hit more than enough in the SEC for a really good Kentucky team to kind of cement himself as a day one prospect. So if he's on the board rounds 3 through 5, I'll be absolutely stunned. He's definitely going to go before that.
Carlos, just kind of follow on that. You know, there's a lot of talk now with the transfer portal and all of that, but I kind of feel like Walshman's an example of how this can really benefit for players from a standpoint of like, he's a guy who's gotten to show what he can do in a way where coming into the year, he wasn't anywhere close to the first round, but doing what he did in the SEC this year, all of a sudden rockets him up the board, right?
Yeah, so you're saying players who can move to power programs and just prove at a higher level of competition. I think it's good. I mean, for people who are already college baseball fans, there might be some sentiment that you don't like the fact that a lot of the mid-major programs are turning into more of these like talent-producing teams for the top level Power 5, like SEC, ACC teams. But I think for me, selfishly, as someone who follows these prospects and someone who wants to see the best players playing against the best competition, just the opportunity for players to make that move when it becomes available to them, even if it's not like in the past straight out of high school, if you get into college and you prove that you can kind of handle yourself at the highest level, I think it's awesome for players to get that opportunity. I think all the scouts and all the teams want to see the best players in the best competition. I mean, one of the reasons why Charlie Condon is now a 1-1 favorite is because he's done it in the SEC. I think the fact that you can perform against the best pitchers and produce just tells you a lot more than maybe what you could do in a 6th, 7th, or 8th best conference. There are just more questions that will come with that. And even the analytics and the underlying batted ball metrics, it's a lot easier to get a lot more skeptical of that numbers when it's happening and maybe not the best college conference in the country. But for a guy like Waldschmidt, he's done it in the best competition available to him. And I do think that is a meaningful difference for teams on draft day.
Great questions today. And if you're listening on the podcast and want to join us live or send in a question in some way, go for it. And we'll be able to answer those every single week here on Hot Sheet. Let's take a little trip on our holiday adventure. Talking about Jackson Holliday, one of the top prospects in the sport, and he is back from the injured list. So this is a good trip today, JJ, to see him back. Also, by the way, I meant to ask you, is Skeens probably getting towards the end of his prospect status? Did he already shed it? Because what do you got?
We got, I think, another start, maybe two, depending on how long he goes. But the thing about Paul Skeens is he goes long every start. So maybe the next start we're done, you know, and we will wish him well on a – I mean, man, what a debut he's had so far. But yeah, the good news with Jackson Holliday is it was a very brief trip to the IL, went on the IL June 14th. He comes off of it today. It's going to DH, it looks like, for a week, maybe 2 weeks, maybe three. You know, we'll see how long it takes where they're just going to let him hit, but they're going to give his arm, his elbow, his throwing arm, a little bit more time to rest because he did have a little bit of elbow soreness. But it's great to see him back on the field and, you know, getting a chance to kind of, he was having a solid kind of stretch there at the plate. He'll get to work on his hitting while he waits for that arm to feel 100%.
Okay, good stuff. The former first overall pick. And let's talk about a player who could be a first overall pick, but he's no lock. But he was the best player in college baseball this year, and his name is Charlie Condon. So let's start there, JJ. How did that all come together as he is named the Baseball America College Player of the Year? Was this a tough one?
In reality, like, I mean, this was a really good year for breakout dominating college performances. But even among those, it actually ended up being pretty easy. You know, and again, this is nothing to take away from Jack Caglione, Christian Moore, Hagen Smith. There was a number of guys who had really good years. But with all that being said, Charlie Condon led the nation in batting average, led the nation in home runs, was, you know, near the top thanks to his teammate in on-base percentage, led the nation in slugging. This is a stat that doesn't even exist, right? Home runs per game is how college baseball kind of looks at it in some ways, because you're trying to even out for the fact that some teams play 45 games, some teams play 65, depending, because the postseason counts. But if you look at home runs per game, for Charlie Condon's career, it's 0.53 home runs per game. Well, that would put him in the, like, among the all-time single season leaders for home runs per game, which is a stat that the NCAA does keep in its record book. So I kind of feel comfortable in saying he's probably got the best home run rate of any college player, Division I college player, with 2 years, which is the minimum you have to have for career. Just did it everything this year. And we tried to also kind of normalize it because this is a record year for home runs. How do you compare a year where you have a record year for home runs to say, like, when Chris Bryant had a great year, and he was hitting more home runs than entire programs because that was a time where no one was hitting home runs, just a little over a decade ago. Well, we tried to normalize that stat-wise, and among all of our 21st century college players of the year, Charlie Condon had the second, the number two, basically, you could call it OPS plus, you know, weighted, you know, for his conference of anyone that we have ever chosen. This really is a truly historic season, even if it isn't a year where we've seen a ton of, you know, home runs flying from everybody.
Yeah, as soon as Condon is selected, whether he's first, whether he's second, whether he's third, he's going to set new records for bonus pool era top 30 college hitters in average, in slugging, in career OPS, in career home run rate. It's just absurd, the numbers that he's put up. And like JJ said, even though he is doing it in an absolutely insane offensive environment, the fact that he also stacks up well with a guy like Chris Bryant when you're accounting for an entirely different era. I love the fact that those two show up 1-2 as well, because I think the Chris Bryant comp is actually a fairly decent one for Charlie Condon. They're both tall, right players who might be third basemen, very power-oriented. It's one of the better comps, I think, that you could come up with for a player like him. And the fact that they both are kind of the faces of their respective college offensive eras, I think is just a really cool nugget for them. So I still think he's got a chance to go one. He's going to be the number one player on our draft board at the end of the day. But it really was a tremendous, tremendous season for him and a lot of fun to watch.
I do like that comp, that Chris Bryant comp, but at the same time, the one thing that does jump out with Condon when you compare him to Bryant is the question that we had when Bryant was coming out in the draft was the power was incredible, but there was a good bit of swing and miss to the game. There was like the question was, okay, what kind of average is he going to hit for?
Yeah.
With Charlie Condon this year, you know, you don't see someone in the SEC lead the nation in batting average and homers, right? You don't see anyone in Division I almost ever lead the nation in batting average and home runs. But to see it done in the SEC, you don't normally see a couple more recently, maybe that's because of the transfer portal, but you don't often see an SEC guy lead the nation in batting average because obviously it's a little, you know, you're going to face a little bit higher level of pitching week in, week out. But then the other part with Condon is to see that kind of power, to see that kind of ability to hit for average, to get on base. But then the other thing you talked about, the question coming into the year was, is this guy, you know, first base long-term? Is he left field? And I'm not saying that he's going to be a long-term third baseman. I'm not saying he's going to be a long-term center fielder, which is something he did play. But he's got to showcase his versatility and a little bit of his athleticism this year, which does, I think, allay a lot of those concerns, Carlos, of, hey, you know, is this guy just purely a bat, or is this a guy who's going to be able to be a useful defender as well? It does feel like that's a little bit less of a concern now maybe than it was coming into the year.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that was maybe the biggest question mark we had for him entering the year. It was like number one on his to-do list at the beginning of the season. The athleticism is either better than scouts expected it to be, or he just improved as an athlete tremendously year over year. He played five positions, 10 or more games, and looked pretty solid at all of them. Kind of like you said, I would probably expect him to be a corner outfielder in the long run, but he has done more than enough to give himself a chance to play third base, where he would probably be the most valuable if he can stick there and be a fringy or average defender at the position. I mean, he's a very good athlete. He's got the arm strength. He can move around pretty well. I would be a little surprised if he did play center field, but I probably also would have been surprised if you told me Aaron Judge would play center field, and he's done that as well. So just that versatility and the chance to play multiple positions just helps him create more value, get into the lineup quicker if his bat's ready in whatever affiliated team he winds up with in a few weeks.
Well, I'm loving all of this. So in a few weeks, is he a number one overall pick? I mean, you know, if I'm a Cleveland Guardians fan and I'm listening to this, I'm like, we need this guy. Sign me up. But is that going to be the case, or where are we at on him right now?
I feel confident that he'll be a top four pick at this stage. It feels incredibly unlikely that he makes it beyond that range. It still seems like at the very top, I know both the top two teams on the board have five or more players they're considering at this stage. I could see him going one to Cleveland. He is younger than some of these other college hitters, and their model is very picky about age. I think over the last 6 to 8 years or so, they have drafted the youngest average age draftee of any team. We did a story on that a few years ago, so the age piece could be a factor for them. it feels like a player profile that Cincinnati has taken a lot in the past. I know they have scouted him heavily this spring. So with both one and two, he's got a ton of action and could be in either of those spots. But it's just really hard to say with any confidence this far out. Hopefully we get some confidence and we hear what Cleveland is leaning towards. But at this stage, I wouldn't really expect it. I think they're going to keep things pretty quiet until really the day of.
Okay, good to know. And obviously, this is the spot to keep track of where it's all going to lay out come draft time, which is coming up very soon. Make sure you have a Baseball America subscription. And also, we'll post all kinds of clips in addition to Hot Sheet itself on the Baseball America YouTube channel. All right. For JJ and Carlos, I'm Scotty Braun. Thanks for those questions today. We're back every single Tuesday, 3 o'clock Eastern time, and we'll give you a lot more info on how to catch more live shows during the All-Star break, all draft-related here for Baseball America. That's it for Hot Sheet. See you Tuesday.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.